Welcome back to the Yoga Teacher Training Podcast. My name is Jeremy Devins, and today I am celebrating 100 episodes here on the podcast. Over the past 4 years since I first opened this podcast and interviewed one of my mentors, Angie Knight, back on one of the first episodes. And recently been doing a lot of great interviews here on the podcast. I've covered a lot of topics and been fortunate to meet a lot of great people who found the podcast, and I get messages all the time from people who are sharing it in their teacher trainings, or people who say that they wish they had this during their teacher training, and it's really valuable resource to supplement everything they're learning in their program. I am super happy to hear more and more people are getting a higher quality of education in their teacher trainings, as now more and more resources are more easily available online. So I am really happy about that. Right. When I was first starting this podcast, and one of the reasons I made this is I heard so many people say that they were disappointed in their teacher training. And I know it still happens now, unfortunately. The standards to call yourself a yoga teacher trainer and to do that is really just a matter of some paperwork and kind of checking some boxes, unfortunately. But there are more and more high quality trainings, high quality teachers, and high quality classes out there in the world now. In the past few years, I just see more and more, and I'm really happy about that. And one of my big reasons for doing this is wanting to improve upon what we have, this amazing history, this lineage that has broken free of the guru to teacher lineage. And we go back to the history. There was so much of that. It's like, you have to go to this guru. It's the only way you can learn yoga. But now it's so much more freely available to everybody who wants it and of higher quality. And there's a lot of sort of natural checks and balances that have happened in the yoga community and the people who practice. And, you know, if the teacher's not good, students don't come back, and you get that direct feedback. They don't always tell you if they don't like your class. They don't actually give you the feedback. But if students stop showing up, then you probably realize something needs to change in your approach to teaching. And that is one of the nice little natural organic processes that can happen in this world, because there's not a lot of feedback. And if you are a teacher, you know, you probably don't get a lot of feedback from students. So you don't know if you're doing things right or well or having an impact or benefiting people unless they tell you. And one way is they actually tell you and you know you're really helping people, and another way is they just stop showing up. But overall, I've seen great improvement in just the quality of teaching. And, you know, I still go to classes often as a student and just observe and learn and just be an open channel and not have any assumptions that I know everything, even though I've been practicing for over a decade and teaching for over a decade. It's still like, I am a student, I am a beginner, I'm always learning, always growing, and always open to hearing new perspectives, and just happy to hear like the anatomy that teachers are using is improved in classes. I can't take credit for any of this. I can say I've helped share my thoughts and experience, and I've seen ripple effects of that, and I've heard from students, and I'm super honored about that. But overall, like, my whole intention for this podcast was to just improve the quality of yoga in the world. And whether I'm directly responsible, I have any small, little, tiny effect on that at all, I can say that I've seen that. It seems like the quality of yoga in the world has improved a lot in the past several years. So in this episode, I want to go back over some of the episodes I've covered, some of the high level things, some like the best lessons of the past 100 episodes, and talk about what's coming up in the next 100 and hundreds of episodes. So I've been fortunate to interview a lot of great people, great teachers, and people related to the yoga field. And it's just amazing to hear all that people are doing out in the world. There's a lot of things I just don't even know about, and I feel like I've got a pretty good finger on the pulse and awareness of what's going on out there, but there is just so much at this point, and there is so much to go around. As I've talked about, like, 1 in 3 people in the world have practiced yoga, so there's not any shortage of people interested and wanting to practice. It's a multi-billion dollar industry now in the world. There is huge demand, even though there is huge supply now of teachers. And this is one of the big things I talk about with a lot of teachers who are starting out. It's like, where do I fit in? Why does the world need another yoga teacher? And I think of it like doctors, and I've talked about this, how can we really have too many medical professionals in the world? Like, can we have too many people who don't who do know about like health and wellness and Ayurveda and breath work and meditation? You know, whether you actually use it as a teacher or not, I think these are really, really essential life skills to know how to regulate your nervous system, to know how to bring your energy up and then bring your energy down just with simple movements and breath work and awareness and mindfulness. It's incredible what we can do with yoga. It's like we have a sort of secret manual to the body and the energy and the universe where we know, like, if we do restorative yoga, it's going to downregulate the nervous system. It's going to bring us into a more restful state. It's going to help our muscles relax and relieve tension. We're less likely to hold on to stress and anger and resentment and difficult emotions if we do practices that are more yin in nature, like yin and restorative and gentle yoga. We know that we can upregulate. And this, for me, is actually harder because we all know the sympathetic nervous system responses: fight, flight, freeze, fawn. And I tended to move into the freeze response a lot of my lifetime when I worked through trauma growing up in teenage years and into my early 20s. So to thaw that out was a lot harder than to like calm down. Like, being calm is easy to me. And it's not easy for everyone I know. We all have our different strengths and gifts and all that. But to be fast and efficient and focused and productive and like reliable and all that is like stuff that I've had to work on a lot. And a lot of people would tell me before I started yoga that they experienced me as ungrounded. And in recent years, like the last 5, 6, 7 years, I've never had that feedback. As often people say, "You're so grounded, you're so calm." But that was work for me. And also to not just be calm and in the freeze response or the cold kind of shut off response, but to be able to activate and to be focused and driven and active and action oriented and run multiple businesses and build wealth and create all this content I've created with my three podcasts and my mini offers and all this, and working with thousands of people around the world. And all this stuff is required to be able to activate my nervous system. So yoga gives us those tools as well, where we can do like a vinyasa or hatha flow or power class to upregulate our nervous systems. And we have the control of the levers just through our bodies, which is really cool. Like, you don't need supplements, you don't need surgeries, you don't need something external to do it. It's basically just entering the codes in your body. You know, like, if you ever play video games and you enter a cheat code and it changes the game, you know, we have that with, you know, you do this pranayama technique, you do this asana, you do it this way in this sequence, and you have a different state, you have different breath, different heart rate, different state of mind. So cool how we can control those levers and influence that with our body, our breath, our practices. So that's something I've talked about a lot in different ways throughout the podcast. Talked about building a consistent practice. You know, a lot of people want a consistent practice. Super common to hear, "Oh, I do yoga, but I'm not consistent." Or, "I want to do it more, but I just don't have time." And I talked about that, of like the aspects of a consistent practice, like how to build consistency into your practice. Things like having some sort of accountability, things like having a routine. So you just have the same time you do it. I find it's way easier to be consistent at something if it's the first thing you do in the morning. And if you know that yoga is important to you, and probably is if you're listening to this podcast, then it might, and it's hard to do it and you want to do it more and you're not finding time, it might be beneficial to do it first thing in the morning. I did a whole episode on that way back in the beginning. But just doing things first thing in the morning is a great way to make sure they happen and set the tone for the rest of your day. And that's the really cool thing about doing yoga in the morning, is it conditions your mind, it primes your mind and body to that state. Compare that to if you wake up and you look at the news. And now you've conditioned your brain to be looking for that kind of energy, that kind of frequency feeling for the rest of the day. And it becomes a lot easier to just waste the day like scrolling, reacting to things, versus starting the day with a yoga practice, or even if you're following an instructor's video or audio like they do on the Quiet Mind Yoga podcast or the Quiet Mind Yoga membership. If you're listening to a teacher and following them, you're still being creative. Like you are being guided to do something, but it's with your body, your breath. You have control. You're not just passively ingesting information or other people's energy and then needing to process that. You know, if you turn on the news, somebody's angry, you are energetically receiving that anger and processing it somehow or another. And you might end up processing it by being angry at someone else and looking for things to be angry about. Right. So our nervous system, our brains are incredible at sort of being primed to look for things. It's like that idea, if I told you to look around your room for everything that is blue, and you just take a moment to do that. You may have done this exercise before, but still, you could still do it. Just look for everything blue, 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 blue. And then think about how many things you found. Maybe there was five, maybe there were six. But without looking again, you can consider asking how many green things did you see? And you might not know. You might not have a good idea of that because you weren't looking for green, you were looking for blue. And what yoga does when we start our day is it teaches us to prime our brains to look for, how am I breathing? What do I feel in my body? Where are my hands? Where are my feet? What am I doing with my body? It brings more self-awareness, more presence, more steady breathing, and it totally changes the trajectory of the day when you start your day that way. Now, if you can't do it that way, that's fine, but ideally you have a same time routine that you can practice. That I think is one of the most important things to being consistent. And then some sort of accountability, like somebody knows you're doing it, or you're doing it to reach some sort of goal. Like maybe you told a friend you're going to practice 5 days a week, and then you check in with them the next week. It could be really simple. But knowing that there's some level of accountability, it's not just like some arbitrary thing you're doing for whatever reason, and then you're like, this isn't that important. But if you have a clearer sense of why you're doing it as well, that can be really motivating. Like for me, that's a big one, like priming my brain for the day and knowing that the way my day goes after practice is very different than like if I start my day reacting to my phone. We talked about the 10 core competencies of yoga all throughout the last 100 episodes. I'm not going to go into all that right now because I've covered it a lot, but things like anatomy, you know, knowing anatomy is super essential to being a teacher, to be able to teach well, because I see this still, I do see this still a lot of sequencing that is not exactly anatomically sound. You know, you want to think about like most of your students, if you're a teacher, if you're a practitioner, most of the average person's time is spent sitting where your hip flexors are in a shortened state, right? So the hip flexors are what bring your knees in towards your belly. And we do things like down dog, the hip flexors are shortened. When we sit in staff pose, the hip flexors are shortened. When we go into pigeon, like the right knee is forward, the right hip flexor is shortened, the left hip flexor is slightly lengthened. It's not, it's more neutral in a sense, but not fully lengthened. So that's an example, like those poses, chair pose, the hip flexors are shortened. I've seen this a lot in a lot of teachers still, that they'll do sequences where you do several poses in a row where the hip flexors are shortened, or where like the arms are overhead, or something like this, or it's like a repetitive motion without balancing it out, which can be done to effect for different reasons, but also can become a cause of imbalances in the body. And this is something I've seen many times over the years of students who they practice every day. They go 5 to 7 days a week and they're very consistent, but they could still get injured and they still have like aches and pains and issues in their body, because yoga is amazing, But it's not everything. It's not the only thing that our bodies need for fitness. To be at our optimal health and function of our muscles and mind-body connection, yoga is really, really, really good. But it's not everything. It doesn't do a whole lot for the heart, and it doesn't do a whole lot for strengthening the body. And if you don't know the anatomy, you're likely going to create a lot of imbalances by just doing like the average sequence, like sun salutations. Hip flexors are shortened for almost every pose in the sun salutations, except up dog. So, and you know, you could say plank pose if you hold plank, and Tadasana, mountain pose. But most of the sequence is hip flexors are shortened. And if you just do the average sort of yoga sequence based on a lot of modern yogas based on the Ashtanga sequence, roughly, there's a lot of hip flexor shortening, and not a lot of glute strengthening to lengthen the hip flexors, and not a lot of hamstring strengthening as well to balance out all the hamstring stretching. So in all the anatomy lessons, I talk about things like the awareness of the pairs of motions in the body, like internal rotation and external rotation, and when to do which one, and how to teach that. If you're a teacher, like you don't necessarily just want to say internally rotate your arms, because the average person's not going to know what that means. They're going to do some weird thing. And I've seen, you know, trial and error, I've seen it. I could talk about that in the episodes on cueing and anatomy to go into all that more. And cueing, as I've talked about, is, I think, the most essential skill in modern online yoga, because most people just have your voice. In a class, people might look around, see other people doing stuff. Online, people, like, I teach audio classes, you know, that's not a lot of people do audio classes, but I know I can do it because I've had blind students and I've worked with blind students in the past and had the feedback that they were able to do everything. And I encourage teaching in a way that a blind student could follow along. And that doesn't mean being excessively detailed. It's a skill, you know, it's finding the right amount of detail where you're not overwhelming your students. You're not doing the death by a thousand cues, like I mentioned in a recent episode, but you are like a GPS with a heart, like I've described it before. So you're giving clear directions, just like a GPS. When it's time to turn left, it says, turn left at the next stoplight or whatever. Continue straight for the next blah, 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 right? So you're not, the GPS doesn't leave you hanging. It's like, it said turn left, now what, right? So it tells you the next step. Same thing in a yoga class. You say, you know, come into this pose, and if you're planning in the sequence to have them hold the pose for a minute, you don't just leave them hanging wondering, like, did I miss something? Especially online, it's like, if you've ever experienced this, you're like, did the audio cut out? Did the recording stop? Did I accidentally hit something, pause the recording? Because you're left hanging, like, wondering what's happening. So that kind of stuff is way more important in online context. In person, it's like, you know the teacher's there. Like, the teacher is not going to glitch out and stop talking. But if you're left hanging, like, it's good to know, like, what am I doing? Are we holding this? Did the teacher forget about me? You know, I talked a lot about that kind of stuff in the cueing episodes. A lot of depth in the cueing episodes. So that is really important skill, and it comes down to being a GPS with a heart. So you're not just saying turn left, turn right, step your foot forward, arms overhead. You're not a robot. Because there's apps that can do that now, and in the next 5-10 years, there will be apps that can perfect that. So what makes a teacher different? Like, why will people continue to come to teachers rather than AI? It's the heart. You know, it's the human connection. It's the sharing genuinely from your experience. It's making it relatable. It's just being human. Like, you mess up, you say you mess up. Like, you don't get insecure. You don't worry about it. Nobody's there to judge you. Everybody's there to stretch and move and feel great and connect to their body and breath. So they want you to do well. They want you to succeed as a teacher. And they don't care if you have imposter syndrome going on in your head. You know, handle that internally and just teach the class. And I talk about this in episodes like the most important thing to focus on in the class and the episode on imposter syndrome. Still, one of the most common things new teachers have is that imposter syndrome. And the thing is, like, that is valid. You should feel like an imposter because you don't have 10 years or 20 years or 30 years of experience yet. You just don't. Like, that just takes time. And in this field, in yoga, experience is the most valuable asset. So the more classes you do, the more you practice, the more you teach, the more you have to offer. And if you're not doing those things, you're eventually probably not going to keep teaching. It's just the nature of it. And that's fine. Like, maybe you don't realize you don't want to or whatever. But if you want to keep teaching, if you love it, and you keep doing it, you're going to want to share it as a teacher. And that is what's going to lead to experience. And experience leads to knowledge and wisdom and knowing what you're talking about. But when you feel like the imposter, you're probably putting all your attention on yourself rather than the student. So it's actually delaying your progress. So it's important to have awareness of that voice. Oh, there's that imposter syndrome voice. I'm not good enough. Who am I? Am I ready to do this? All those things that come up. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too thin, too big, too small, whatever. All those voices come up. It's pretty much the same thing. You're not enough. And when you can just be aware of it and disidentify from it and say, oh, there's that voice. Hello. Welcome. I'm going to keep doing my thing over here. You can keep doing your thing, but I'm not going to give you a lot of power, right? I'm just going to help this person in front of me. It's like if you go to the beach and you see somebody asking for help, you're not going to pause and say, oh, I'm not a lifeguard. I don't have any credentials. I didn't go to school. I didn't spend 10 years learning how to save someone's life in the ocean. You're just going to do whatever you can to help that person, right? So that is the kind of approach I encourage considering here with your teaching. It's like somebody had the courage to step in front of a room and share their yoga practice with you, and many people probably did. And that's all it is. You just have the courage to step forward and say, I'm not perfect. I don't know everything, but I do know this feels great. This helped me. Maybe it'll help you. You want to try it? Here's how you do it. And you just share, share from your love, share from your experience, and that feels amazing. That I've been to classes with brand new teachers, and I can feel that, that sometimes the insecurity or the self-consciousness, but when they're just sharing their genuine heart and like, this is something I've found valuable, maybe you'll like it too. Here's how you do it. It feels great. It's wonderful. It's just as good as the senior teacher 30 years. And there's senior teachers who aren't sharing from experience, and they actually don't have a lot of experience. They just have years since they did their teacher training. So, it's not necessarily just having years since your YTT that makes you good. It's what you do in those years and how you continue to learn and practice and then share what you learn. So, also along the way, we talked about avoiding burnout as teachers, continuing your own practice. That just feeds everything. It all comes back to the roots of your practice, of your teaching, of everything is your own practice yourself. So we talked about some great ideas like setting boundaries, balancing sthira, sukha in your life, in your practice. I always get great feedback on the episodes on the yamas and niyamas, the eight limbs of yoga. I hear a lot that YTTs don't go super deep on those, and they are super deep. Like, you can only do so much in a teacher training to talk about them. I do have those episodes go pretty deep on each one. In my teacher training, we go pretty deep with it, but it's still like you gotta just live it. You may remember I talk about this device of using your left hand for the yamas, right hand for the niyamas. So, in your left hand, starting with your thumb, you can just count them. Ahimsa, satya, asteya, brahmacharya, aparigraha, and then your hand is open, non-grasping. So if that is helpful to you to memorize, I really like that device. And I talk about that in the Eight Limbs episode and the free guide that goes with that. And that's something you can run your decisions by. You're unsure whether you should make this decision or not, or do this or that. Is it harming you? Is it harming someone else? Are you lying? Are you stealing? You're taking something that's not given to you, that you didn't earn or have some sort of reciprocity for? Are you wasting your energy? Are you grasping? Are you controlling? Are you needing it to be a certain way? Right, these are great filters to run our lives through and live this stuff. And it is a lifelong journey. It took me many years to begin to really embody and grasp it, and I think I've still got a long time to go. So always learning and growing myself as well. And then your right hand, the niyamas, starting with your thumb to your pinky. You have saucha, santosha, tapas, svadhyaya, ishvari pranidhana. So saucha, the cleanliness, the santosha, contentment, tapas, the passion and discipline, svadhyaya, self-study, self-awareness, things like what we're doing here, learning about yoga. And then ishvari pranidhana, surrender and trust in a higher power, God of your understanding, universe, Ishvar, whatever you want to call it, but something bigger than yourself. You can call it the laws of thermodynamics. You can call it God. You can call it Allah. Whatever your background, whatever resonates with you. But that is that sort of trust in that bigger purpose and higher power, or everything is meant to be. So those are the yamas and niyamas, the parts of the eight limbs of yoga. I did a lot of stuff on that in earlier episodes. And I talked about a lot of like how to choose a teacher training. If you're listening to this, you've never taken the teacher training, did some episodes on that. But it comes down to essentially like find someone you like who has results you want and learn everything you can from them. Sit down at the learning tree. The word Upanishad, we get the Upanishads from the source text of yoga. It means to sit near. To sit near a teacher and absorb. Our brains are like sponges. They're adaptable. Talked about neuroplasticity here on the podcast. Our brains can change and adapt to what we learn, and we never stop unless we choose to stop, right? People who are the healthiest functioning cognitively, physically in old age are the ones who continue to learn and grow. So we can always continue to learn and grow and find people that we want to learn from. So when you want to learn teacher training, or you want to take a teacher training and learn how to be a teacher, find someone who you like how they teach, you resonate with them, they have results that you want. Maybe you want to teach in studios, workshops, retreats, online, podcasts, YouTube. Find people who have done that and are doing that and learn from them. We talked about yoga philosophy, a lot of stuff about yoga philosophy, like the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. We talked about energetic anatomy with the chakras, the doshas, the gunas, a little bit about the koshas, the vayus. There's a lot. We talked about diet, Ayurveda, lifestyle, morning routines. There's a lot. I'm just reviewing up to like episode 50 so far. But we've covered a lot of great stuff here on the podcast. Vedic astrology. Many of you know I have a whole Vedic astrology podcast and business at Quiet Mind Astrology. Subscribe on Spotify, wherever you follow. And talking about creating offers and having a yoga business and what that means and building an online business. Lots of cool stuff. It's been a real honor. And then the recent episodes, I did a lot of interviews with some great teachers around the world. And we'll be doing more of that, more in the 10 core competencies of yoga, because there's always more. It's just never ending, right? That's why I kind of frame it in that way with those 10 core competencies, because you could spend the next year just learning about anatomy and you'll learn a lot. And you come back in like a few years and you'll learn a whole new layer of it. I've had this experience over and over again. So it never ends and it's so deep, and everything in yoga can fit into those 10 areas, like energetic anatomy, philosophy, meditation, asana, and teaching skills. And mentorship. So when you just focus on one of those in different little sprints of your studies and your education, you end up going really deep and learning a lot. And it's been a real honor and privilege to get to share this all with you over the past 100 episodes. And I'm excited for what's next. And in the very immediate future, this next week, I'll be hosting a free live workshop at quietmind.yoga/health. It's called Get in the Best Health of Your Life. So I'll be summarizing the best things I've learned about living a healthy life through my 20 years of studies and practice, from exercise, sleep, nutrition, everything in between, not just yoga, right? So again, yoga is wonderful, but it's not everything when it comes to a healthy, holistic life. And we'll talk about that there. It's free. It's going deep. Like, I like to do these free workshops to give you a lot of value and experience and go deeper into your studies. And if you want to work with me more, I'll have offers for you to do that as well. But that's at quietmind.yoga/health or the link in the show notes. And I look forward to sharing more with you there. Hope you'll join us live on Zoom. Thank you for listening and see you next time on the Quiet Mind Yoga Teacher Training Podcast.